Audi.
Hello, I'm Lisa Francesca Nand, and this is the Big Travel Podcast Christmas and New Year's special. Merry Christmas, everyone, and all that. Gosh, that year has gone so quickly for me. It feels like the quickest one yet, I feel. In this post-pandemic world we now inhabit. And thank goodness for those of us who love travel and also who have friends and family abroad, we are able to travel freely in the most part, if only we can afford it, of course, now. For my travels this year, I've been able to go back and forth to see my lovely family in my beloved Spain and, of course, my friends there as well. And I've had a couple of truly wonderful solo trips this year, one which was in the summer in Ibiza, which as a single mum working with very little time to myself was just incredible. I only went for 3 nights, but it felt like a week away. And to just have that freedom to just chill out in the sunshine and do nothing and go out at night, of course, was just amazing. And another trip was actually back in February to see my brother in LA, which again felt like the most relaxing thing in the world. It was quite a quick turnaround to go to California. Although I went to India once for 3 nights and Florida once for 3 nights. So I have been on a few small trips through work, but I went for 5 nights in LA and 6 nights altogether because I had one on the plane. But the whole thing just felt relaxing and fabulous. And you know, when you're operating like on a higher level, you just feel excited all the time. I was even standing in my brother's kitchen having a cup of tea and he's like, "You're okay, we're not really doing much." I was like, "I'm having an amazing time." Again, maybe just the joy of traveling after so long or the relaxation of not having the responsibilities that I usually have at home. I don't know, but I never forget my love of travel, but things like that really sort of hammer it home to me. So I've had a few amazing trips, and I don't know about you, I know a lot of people like winter and love skiing and love winter holidays and snowy holidays and that sort of thing, but during the winter I really, really, really miss the sunshine. And if money was no object, I would spend every January, possibly February, out of the country somewhere hot. I've been lucky enough to spend Christmas in many countries around the world, but since having kids, it's also nice to be with family and to stay home. And for me, home means either the UK or Spain. And this year, thankfully, we're in Spain, getting some mild sunshine, but definitely better than some of the zero temperatures we've had back home. But I am a sun seeker. And of course, here in the Northern Hemisphere, we do tend to think of Christmases as a cold and ideally snowy affair if you look at all our Christmas cards and that sort of thing. It's been a while since I was able to go somewhere really hot over Christmas, but to kick off our Christmas special, we have a few of our guests who've been attracted to Christmas in the sun. Starting off with the wonderful Alex Kaprenos, lead singer of Franz Ferdinand, who I was overjoyed to have on the podcast this year. It felt just like sitting down in a pub or a cafe with a mate, and that's exactly how my favourite conversations for the podcast go. So here is Alex Kaprenos, followed by podcast and author Izzy Lawrence in Australia, South African charity man and author Kevin Chaplin in Cape Town, celebrity vet Mark Abraham in Thailand, and author and bird expert Hannah Bourne Taylor speaking of Christmas in Ghana, where she rescued a pangolin in the heat of a rainforest.
Hi, this is Alex Kaprenos from Franz Ferdinand, and I remember the first time I spent Christmas in the Southern Hemisphere. I was in the South Island of New Zealand, staying on the coast. And Christmas days used to be the day when you'd sort of like open the curtains, desperate to see a dusting of snow on the ground so you could run through and trample through it and feel that great sensation of breaking the first fall underfoot. And it felt so bizarre to walk out of the place I was staying and walk onto the beach and feel the warm sand underneath my feet instead. And it felt surreal, but quite thrilling as well. I was with my girlfriend at the time, and we went for a walk through like a national park. It was pretty much like jungle. And it was a great experience. I loved it. And what was particularly thrilling about it was having an experience which is familiar, like walking through woodland essentially, but not recognizing any of the flora at all. Like the shapes of the leaves, the color of the bark on the trees, even the color of the earth just looked unfamiliar and just slightly different from anything that you'd experienced before. And yeah, it was, again, as if you'd been from your accepted reality and into one that was unfamiliar. And I loved it. A good experience. But at the same time, feeling slightly homesick for, like, because I was away from my family and kind of thought, oh, maybe it would have been nice to be like under the tree and exchanging presents.
Hello, I'm Izzy Lawrence. I'm a podcaster and an author, and I do a travel show with Sean Keaveney called Your Place or Mine. But I remember one Christmas very well, and that is because I was with my family in Melbourne, Australia. Now, if you've never had a Christmas in the Antipodes, it is very different to one back home. For one, it is light at about 4 a.m. and it stays light until about 10 p.m. It is an amazingly hot time. And in Melbourne, it wasn't just hot, it was muggy. And it was really intense muggy. And we were eating outside. It was a beautiful classic Christmas spread of, I think it was literally prawns on the barbie is what it was. It was fish. It was all of these wonderful, glorious, lovely foods. And as we were eating this, and this heavy electric storm started, and it, like, the whole air, it felt like you were swimming the entire time. When you're breathing, it was like being in the greenhouse at Kew Gardens. It was incredible. And then hailstones just started to fall. And when I say hailstones, we always think, what? You know, here in Britain, I know what they're like. They're a bit like sprinkles, and they just sort of sprinkle down. These things were the size of not small marbles, but large marbles. And I know that because me and my stepbrother Rob played with them afterwards as if they were marbles. They were huge. Some of them were the size of golf balls. They'd smashed one of the car windows in the street. It was incredible Christmas just for that reason. I also remember I twisted my ankle by jumping down an entire stairs, but that's probably, you know, that was like a whole flight of wooden stairs, and I just landed at the bottom, twisted my ankle, and I heard a crunch, but I thought, it's fine. It will be fine.
Carry on.
It was.
Carry on. It's Christmas. But that's, yes, like some sort of biblical weird hail at Christmas event in the sunshine,
it was quite a strange thing, because it had been so beautiful and hot, and then suddenly it was muggy, and it felt like the clouds were about an inch above your head. It was like really heavy. And then the electrical storm was very mild, but the hail just went, it was going from absolutely nothing to poochung. And these things, if they hit you, I think we would have suffered a severe injury. They were very, very large. But it was really cool. And it's that thing about Australia. It just sort of takes you by surprise. You can see amazing creatures, and you know, there are tiny little spiders which can kill you, and there are huge spiders, ones that I think they're called huntsman spiders. Yeah. And I remember being sat, this is when I was much smaller, being sat on the grass next to a huntsman spider and realizing that its back leg was at my hip and its front leg was at my toe, so it was entirely the length of my leg. And I'm scared of spiders, but I'm not it's a visceral reaction. I'm not scared of spiders. I just have the initial like, oh, spider, but then I'm fine with them once I know where they are and what they're doing. We can chill. You know, I find that's fine. If I talk to the spider, me and the spider get along.
Spider's the size of your leg, though. You know,
story. Well, those are the ones they're the ones that cause the most car crashes, those, because their favorite place, they like to hide in really like tight spaces. And the best place they have is, you know, where if you're driving and you've got the sunlight in your eyes and you lower the sun guard, that's where they love to hide. So they love to hide just in that gap. And so you pull that down, the spider just drops on your lap and you crash the car and die. Not because the spider bit you or anything like that. The spider was just having a little snooze and you woke it up. Your fault.
Brilliant. Love it.
This is Kevin Chaplin here from Cape Town, South Africa, saying hi to all of you and wishing everybody an amazing Christmas time. We have summer in Christmas, so it's totally different to what you have in the UK with all the snow and the beautiful markets and the lights. But we do still celebrate Christmas, even though it's very hot, sometimes as hot as 35 degrees. What I try and do, what I did for my daughters when they were young, and I do it for my grandchildren now, we wake up early in the morning and I put flour, cake flour out so it looks like snow on the carpet. And put some footprints so that Father Christmas has come down the chimney, and because that's the only way you can see it, through the snow. And then we have our Christmas tree and all our gifts around there. And we just celebrate and have an amazing lunch on Christmas Day. So I wish you, I would love to be there in the snow and the beauty, but we wish you a warm, warm Christmas from South Africa.
Hi, my name's Mark Abraham. I'm a vet and animal welfare campaigner and author. And one of my fondest memories for being abroad at Christmas was, I think, in Thailand, where quite a few of us built a Christmas tree out of sand on one of the most beautiful beaches in the world, in Rayleigh. And that was it's always quite surreal to be abroad at Christmas, but definitely that was one of the fondest memories.
Rayleigh is one of my favourite beaches in the
world. Was that one where you walk through the little alleyway with the monkeys and come out on that beach.
Yeah, those cheeky monkeys.
Yeah, the cheeky monkeys.
Food and stuff.
Yeah, it was, that was definitely one of my favourite places in the world. And to be there at Christmas it's quite moving as well, because you start thinking about everyone else you know in the world. But yeah, it wasn't a bad place to hang out.
So I'm Hannah Bourne Taylor. I'm a nature writer, and my debut nature memoir is called Fledgling. And it's all about a tiny bird and how it changed my life. And I lived in Ghana for 7 years in rural grasslands, like nowhere near a city. And Christmases were very different. So most of the time, to me, Christmas is English, normally really cold Christmas day with all my family and a big dinner and booze and very family orientated and very cold. And Ghana Christmases are completely different. Really, really hot. In fact, one of the hottest months of the year is December. And I spent one Christmas rescuing a pangolin. It wasn't actually on Christmas Day, but there was tinsel up in some of the supermarkets in the city, which is also so surreal when you see tinsel in a really hot country and palm trees and things. And Ghanaians tend to play really, really loud music for celebrations. And so it's not Christmas music, but really just loud music everywhere for Christmas. And there I was, managing to negotiate the life of a pangolin pangolins have been, there's been a trade ban since 2017 on pangolins because they're really, really in trouble in terms of extinction. And they're the world's most trafficked species. And so I went on pangolin patrol with a conservation organization, found this pangolin being sold as a bushmeat, but was still alive. And so rescued the pangolin and then took it back to his home in Atawa Forest, which is an incredible rainforest, massive, massive rainforest where you suddenly feel like a very tiny human being and not very significant. And so there I was walking through a sweaty rainforest holding an incredibly precious creature instead of being, somewhere in the countryside of Britain, freezing and walking and eating and drinking. Very different.
As I said before, one of my favourite trips this year was my aforementioned trip to California, and I was lucky enough to head down to Malibu, where the next guest lives. Yes, we were lucky enough to get Hollywood actress Minnie Driver on the podcast this year. What a coup! Here's Minnie telling us about her typical California beach Christmas.
Hi, this is Minnie Driver, and my Christmas tradition where I live in California is usually my family comes to stay with me, and walking on the beach for miles and miles and for hours is the post-lunch tradition now. And it's, you run into all your friends and neighbors also walking on the beach, and we have super low tides in the winter. So it's winter beaches, is maybe my second most favorite beach. But that's always what I look forward to at Christmas, is the long walk after it.
Of course, Christmas here, as we know it, is often in the cold. And if you think of the Hallmark-style movie Christmas, it's all snow and Christmas trees and ice skating and bumping into a hunky guy, rescuing a girl from the city, going to live in the countryside. But for me, I think New York City is one of the quintessential movie places for Christmas movies as well. Here we have comedian and podcaster Callie Beaton in New York, doing just all the typical things you'd expect one to do around Christmas time there. We also have the wonderful singer-songwriter Nina Nesbitt remembering Christmas in Iceland and wanting to recapture the magic of a winter wonderland.
I'm Callie Beaton. I'm a comedian, a fellow podcaster, and a speaker. So my Christmas travel favorite story, I've done a couple of trips on Christmas Day, but I did one when my kids were, I don't know, probably 7 and 10, that kind of age. And we flew to New York on Christmas Day. We had air miles and I'd won a thing where we had a suite at a hotel for, I think, for 2 nights. And then I had a friend's place I was going to be able to stay at in Greenwich Village for another 3 nights. And we flew actually on Christmas Day. And the idea of doing that, just leaving the UK, the flight actually wasn't that busy. I don't think many people travel on Christmas Day. And we ended up being served a proper, like I say proper, you know, we were at the back of the plane, but as proper as food is at the back of a plane, Christmas lunch. So it was like turkey and sprouts and all of that. And then we landed in New York. I guess it would have been like 4 or 5 o'clock. And we went straight out. We got to the hotel and then we went straight out and just seeing, I think it was my kids' first ever time that they've gone to New York, and just seeing New York on Christmas Day with the lights, the ice skating in Central Park, how they do, you know, Fifth Avenue, how the shops are lit up. And I remember it was like jet lag wasn't even a thing. We were out for like 5 or 6 hours and it was like a sort of New York movie about Christmas. So I think that probably sums up Christmas is yeah, New York on Christmas Day. It doesn't get much more Christmassy than that.
When I moved to down south to London, I couldn't believe how hot the summers were. I was honestly in shock. Like, I just thought the whole of the UK was as cold as Scotland. So I don't really go abroad in the summer. So I like to go on holiday near Christmas. I just think like I need a holiday then. I need a bit of sun. But the most magical holiday I had just before Christmas a couple of years ago was to Iceland. And I know it's not obviously sunny, but it was just amazing. I felt like I'd been to Mars. And it just made me like want to have a holiday like that every year before Christmas. Although probably not this year because just try to pay the bills. But yeah, it was just incredible. And we did one of these kind of like bus tour things. Like normally I'd rather get an Airbnb and sort of figure my own way around wherever I am. But we got on a bus and we did all the arranged tours and I'm so glad we did it because I think in Iceland, somewhere like that, driving is so difficult because of the weather and like the roads. It's just crazy. And just being taken around everywhere was magical. We've seen like the big waterfall, we've seen the Blue Lagoon, all of that. And it's just the perfect way to kind of start the Christmas holidays. So we'd recommend Iceland to anyone.
One of the most important things about Christmas for many of us is getting time to spend with friends and family. And I loved the conversation I had with contemporary artist Firuz Farman Farmayan, who really is a citizen of the world. For his Christmas story, Firuz remembers Christmas with his father in his Persian Marrakesh house in Morocco. This is followed by campaigner Jamie Klingler in Philadelphia bookstores with her lovely mum, the Mambo brothers with their parents in Rio, and Mark Rahola in Ibiza.
Greetings. I am Firuz Farman Farmayan, contemporary artist, curator, multidisciplinary artist, and a musician. I'm based south of Spain, but work internationally. My idea of an original Christmas is spending it with my father in Marrakesh, him being a Muslim Sufi, me being educated as a Catholic, into a hybrid form of celebration. We do have a tree. But at the same time, we don't celebrate exactly the birth of Jesus. We just celebrate it as a family reunion. What is also fantastic is that we are able to be together around family table and very incredibly have a blend of traditional Christmas food and Persian food, which I haven't seen anywhere. My father's house was built by my grandfather, that's a Persian architect, but a modernist. So it has a very traditional construct to it, but at the same time has very modern lines. Set in the Palmeret of Marrakesh, with beautiful orange walls and a very nice terrace and a lot of animals. We've got dogs and more. It's called Al Ferdos, meaning in Arabic. As they speak Arabic in Morocco, the wise one. Marrakesh is constructed around the center. You've got this, the old town, which is obviously the bazaar, what they call the souk, that's built around a plaza that's called Jamalfna. Then it extends to what they call the modern town, the Geliz, that's been constructed during the colonial times, which is on one, the other side of the town, where all of, let's say, the administrative developments take place. And then you have the larger Marrakesh with the roads that go to Fez and other roads that go towards different cities, where you have a forest of palm trees. They call it Fresh de Palmeres, right? And you've got quarters. You've got neighborhoods there. And houses, very nice houses. And my father moved there in the 1990s. And we have the, I have to say, the luck to have a very nice family home.
My name's Jamie Klingler, and I'm one of the co-founders of Reclaim These Streets. Christmas for me was very much Christmas Eve at my mom's. So when we woke up at 9 in the morning on Christmas Eve is when we would do our presents and go around and give the books and the pajamas and then have a Christmas breakfast together before going to my grandmother's. And then my mom and I would always get a book gift certificate to Marlowe's, and which was run by a Jewish couple. So it was open on Christmas Eve. And we would sneak away from my grandmom's and go and spend our Christmas book gift certificate every year by ourselves, and probably spend too much time in the bookshelf or in the bookstore, so my grandmom would yell at us. But always having the joy of constant companions through books and the joy of reading is probably the thing my mom most gave me. And I grew up in Philadelphia, so this was in Northeast Philly, going to Marlowe Bookstore.
Hi, I'm Christian.
Hi, I'm Alan, and we are the
Mambo Brothers. A Christmas memory was the first time that we went with the full family, my mom and dad, to Brazil. And we checked in the hotel, and my mum is like, oh, she looked at it's Christmas right now in Spain. So we walked a few hundred meters. We were in front of a beach, and we ordered some lovely food, like, well, fish on the grill and some chicken and a big bottle of Skol. They're like really massive when you order them on the beach. And we were feet in the sand thinking, wow, it's Christmas right now in Spain, because they were 12 hours in front, I think, from Brazil. I think it was, what was it, Rio we were in, or Sao Paulo?
No, Rio.
Rio. So that was a magic moment on Christmas in the other side of the world from where we're from.
Salvador de Bahia.
Salvador. There we go. Salvador.
Christmas here in Ibiza, it's a time where, first of all, the native people has the opportunity to have a reunion with their families, because sometimes families here being in this island are split. So, for instance, my mother lives in a place, my sister lives in another place, out of Ibiza. So it is a moment in which we have reunion with cousins, with uncles. So let's say that this is also a moment that is special, because it's the only, let's say, part of the year that there is this possibility to have. That's my one side. Obviously, as it happens that, it's a good moment that you also see all friends that also are split around the world. Have if you think on friends that they live in US or in London or in Barcelona or in other places. So it's also a very good moment for that. So this is what I feel about Christmas. But saying that, when you come from as a tourist here, you are able to find absolutely an open island. It's not closed. Obviously, if you go to Playa Embosa, the very big, let's say, discotheques and hotels are closed, but there is a real, let's say, vibe in the island. There's a lot of sun still, and you are able to be in a fantastic spot in the middle of the island or in a beach, and just looking the sun, grabbing a good dinner, a good stuff, in a way that it's very difficult to find other places in the world. And I can assure you that I have traveled a lot around the world, and with this, let's say, moment, it's something unique. While I'm saying that, at same you can go, and there are, let's say, very local little parties that we make, obviously, for these people. At least this island lives here 145,000 people. So, yes, it's a little, let's say, village, but not such little as people might understand. So constantly it comes here, expats of the whole world, that they come here in Christmas. They join here with little spots in San Rafael and in other places of the island, like San Antonio or Santa Eulalia, that there is a good mood, a very good mood.
Of course, Christmas doesn't always go to plan. People can feel far from home, fall out with their families, be unwell, make the wrong decisions, and have all sorts of things go wrong. Nanny Shaz, for example, celebrity nanny to the stars, had a nasty bug in Jamaica. Singer-songwriter Foy Vance hated spending Christmas in Lanzarote. Greg abandoned the Abandoned Places Explorer, and what a great episode that was. He had a Christmas romance go wrong in a London nightclub. And former Big Brother star Pete Bennett, I had a brilliant time when he came round to my house, remembers Christmas in the Caribbean with his mum and a drunk Santa and a bad buffet.
Hi, my name is Sharda Lambert, also known as Nanny Shaz, and I'm a childcare expert and international nanny. I have a great experience at Christmas because it's my sister's birthday. So it's always party, party, party for us, our family. We have loads of food. We have British and Jamaican breakfast, and I just eat until my heart's content. And then we party for the whole night, which I absolutely love. But I had a very bad experience at Christmas one day. I was working abroad as a travel nanny and the whole family got a stomach bug. So I ate pasta in my room and watched my family on Skype and just cried. So, yeah, that's been my two experiences. I prefer the first because I love being around my family. But, yeah, just try not to spend Christmas alone because it's not the best thing.
What country were you in?
I was in Oman and everyone got the travel bug, even the children. I was the only one that didn't. So shout out to my immune system. But, yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone. This is Foy Vance here on the Big Travel Podcast. Here to tell you about my Christmas travel story, which is when I was 23, I moved to Lanzarote for a year, and that incorporated Christmas. And I toyed with the idea of going back home, where it would be nice and cold and chilly and Christmas trees and fires and all that crack. But I decided to stay in the sunshine. And the long, tall and short of it is, it was terrible. Don't ever do Christmas. Christmas is about the fires and the hot toddies. Sitting on a beach on Christmas Day really did suck. Merry Christmas, everybody.
My name is Greg Abandoned, and I explore abandoned places all around the world. And I would like to tell you a Christmas story that happened to me about 6 or 7 years ago. I was in London, and this was the first Christmas by myself. I just got divorced, and somehow I managed to get a date during Christmas. Maybe it was 26, and I remember this was around Leicester Square somewhere. I went out, and this date was going pretty well up until she said to me, "Would you fancy going clubbing or like dancing?" So I thought to myself, like, oh, wait a second. Oh, yeah. She wants to spend more time with me. So, yeah, I can do that. Sure. I mean, it's going great. Like, if she wants to spend more time with me, it's going great. So I'm walking with her. And I remember, I can't remember what was the name of the club, but I remember about 10 meters before we went to this club, she said that this is a trans club, like, you know, for like drag queens, things like that. And I have nothing to against people like whoever, right? It's just I was curious about, like, why would she pick that from all of the places? Like, why would we go there? Because, you know, it is unusual, right? Like, it is an unusual place to take someone on, like, the first date when you just met that person. So I was thinking to myself, back when I was 20, before all the dating apps and everything, my friend and I, when we used to live in Manchester on Canal Street, this was the time when you wanted to speak or pick up a woman, you would actually go to gay clubs. Because we would hold hands, walk to a gay club, because that's where like women would go there to feel safe. And they would be like, oh, this is the time when no guy will come up to me and start chatting me up. I just want to spend time with my girls. And so we knew that. And we would like, okay, let's go to gay like gay club. And then we do that. Unsuccessfully, obviously. and then fast forward 14 years later, I'm in this situation, and I am. So we're going down to this, downstairs to this club. And at that time, I just got divorced. I was with a person for 12 years. So I had so many insecurities. I didn't know if like anyone would find me attractive. I was overthinking everything. I was analyzing so much in my head that I remember she was talking to me, but I felt like I'm wearing headphones and music was so loud that I was having my own conversation with myself, and she was just talking to me. So I couldn't hear really what she was saying. And I just nodded and I was saying, yes, yes, yes. And at some stage, I think maybe she realized that I was a little bit off. So she just grabbed my hand and took me to the dance floor. And we already, in that previous place, we already had like 4 or 5 beers. So when we got there, I was already sober. Just like because I started thinking, wait a second, maybe she had like a sex operation. Maybe she is a man or was a man, right? And I was like, oh, that's not something I want to find out. Because you should tell this other person if that's the case. You should tell them, right? Like at least that's something you should tell. But again, probably not. I'm just so like in my head overthinking this. So, okay, I'm now already sober. There's no alcohol doesn't affect me. When I'm sober, I cannot dance. I'm just like cutting shapes with my legs, essentially. And there's R&B music, Alicia Keys, whatever, something is going on. And then she's just dancing next to me. And I just know what's going to happen. I know it because, you know, like I would do this sometimes. Like I would, you know, go on dates. And when you go to like clubs and stuff, like this is like where people get a little bit closer. Sure. So I knew that this kiss was coming. And the inside Greg was really freaking out. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And at some point, her face got really close to me. And swear to God, it wasn't me. It was just my body just reacted. My body just, I was not in control. It was just like a defense mechanism. So my hand just went forward and I pushed her, like I touched her, not arms, but like shoulders. And I just pushed her away. And my mouth just went like, are you a man? And she just got so mad, started obviously throwing profanities at me and grabbed her purse and just stormed out. And I've never seen her again. I texted her later on. And I just tried to explain myself. I said that I needed to know why, that kind of stuff. Like I was like a little bit insecure. I was really dumb, that kind of stuff. Like I know whatever, like I don't know what I was thinking. But it was the old ghosting situation. I've never heard from her again. So technically, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe she was. So
I think that was probably a no. I think that was probably a no.
I think so. I think I was just stupid. Yeah.
I'm loving the Christmas date story. It's brilliant. What was her name, by the way?
Oh, God. I don't know. I think it was Lisa.
Lisa, it's a great name. If you're out there, let us know.
I'm going to go with Lisa, yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Wait, Hi, it's me, Pete Bennett. Christmas story. Right, so the last... my mum lives in Martinique in the Caribbean. I went up there for Christmas. Whee! And let's just say, Father Christmas is black. Yeah, he's a black guy, you know? He's got a great big white beard, red thing, but he's black. He's like, what? I was like, yes, Dad. It's the first time I've seen a black Father Christmas, you know what I mean? I've never seen one before. I don't know. It was a strange Christmas dinner. I mean, I went to this. I don't even know what it was. It was food, but it wasn't really food. It was just, I don't know. I can't even explain it, really. Well, we went to I think it was like you pay for all you can drink and all you can eat kind of Christmas fair party, whatever, in this Caribbean resort. But it was the most tackiest, like literally crappy, cheesiest dump ever. And like, you know, obviously Black Father Christmas walks in, he's off his nut, he's pissed out of his head. He's like, you know what I mean, staggering about. And he's sitting on his chair and then he's like, and he's like, all the kids have to line up to get a present off him. And you know, his beard's hanging off and he's not even fat, you know what I mean? But then he's handing out presents, I think. And I think they were biros or something. but we paid lots of money for this kind of adventure to meet Father Christmas. But
did you get a biro?
I got a biro, yeah. Well up for Christmas biro, man.
Happy Christmas, there's sick. A biro.
Yeah, I've still got it. I can't remember what else. We got made to eat like all this the pre-made food, but oh my God, Caribbeans haven't really sussed out how to cook yet. You know, I've been to a lot of restaurants in Martinique, and my God, like the only thing they've really sussed out is chicken Colombo, which is a curry, which is gorgeous. And I've got loads of powder, I love it. But anything else is just mushy crap. They have no idea how to cook. You know what I mean? It's just unreal shit.
All Caribbeans.
No, but crap food. Not in Martinique.
In Martinique. Yeah.
I've not had a nice meal in Martinique. I want to go to the places where, you know, because I love Caribbean food here. You go to the Caribbean place and you're like, you know what I mean? It's gorgeous and it's really nice. But in Martinique, it's just not as good as it is here. It's like, how can it not be as good? It's just total shit. So we had a really bad kind of mash-up Christmas dinner with... it was like these big silver square trays. You know, you go to school and you get the dinner lady handing out. That's what it was like. As they basically this dinner lady like splodging on like whatever it was on our plate, and it was just mushy cack. And I don't know what it was, man, because everything tasted just wrong, you know. And then the drinks were just like cheap alcohol. We drink all you like, but it was the cheapest of the cheap alcohol. And Father Christmas was off his nut.
Happy bloody Christmas.
And it was definitely not the Christmas side. There was no snow, there was no reindeers, and there was, you know, there wasn't any. It's weird, it's really weird being in a hot country when it's Christmas, because there's no snow. And you know, I if there's no snow or cold, it's not really, it doesn't feel Christmassy. It's red hot, you know, and it just doesn't work. You know, there's Christmas trees they put up, and it just doesn't, it just looks weird, you know. It doesn't, anyway, I can't really say, but that was about it. I mean, other Christmases have been great. I just go and see my mum usually in France and have Christmas with her. And that's really
cool.
I don't know, yeah.
That's great. It's wonderful. Thank
you. I don't know, it's sounding quite a boring story.
No, it was good. Don't worry.
For many people, including our guests here on the podcast, the break over Christmas might also be a time to try something different. We've got Instagram expert and coach Sarah Tasker, who likes nothing more than a traditional Christmas at home in the UK, but is now considering her French getaway. Gallery director Simon Martin wanting to try an alternative Christmas in Cuba. Author Trevor Dolby in the south of France in a tiny little village. And safari expert Will Bolsover remembering a Christmas in Marrakesh.
Hi, I'm Sarah Tasker, and I am a coach and Instagram expert. And I don't think I've ever travelled for Christmas. I think the reason being that so much of what feels Christmassy to me is rooted in the traditions and repeating the same things year after year. So I live now in West Yorkshire, and things like there's a local Christmas tree farm where we go and pick our tree and they hack it down with an axe for us and then drive it back to our house on the top of our car. wishing for snow and the places we go by and the food that we eat and the kind of cold nights drawing in and the twinkly lights, all of that feels so essentially Christmassy. I can't imagine having it somewhere else, but maybe in France. I have a house in France now, and I think a French Christmas might be equally magical.
I'm Simon Martin, and I'm the director of Pallant House Gallery. In terms of a Christmas anecdote, I mean, so often I have spent it with family, but actually a few years ago I decided I wanted to do something completely different. So I went with some friends to Cuba, and it felt like such a rebellious thing to do because, of course, you're going on the other, you know, almost near the equator, and to this incredibly tropical place. And actually, what was brilliant is on Christmas Eve, one of the friends who's Spanish managed to get lobster. So we had lobster for dinner, and I took out a Christmas pudding from Fortnum and Mason's and tinned custard and crackers. And there was a Cuban drag queen who was staying in the same place, who also came for dinner. It was quite random, who was completely freaked out by the crackers and thought they were explosives. And I'm not quite sure how I got them on the plane, actually. I shouldn't say this publicly. Then on actual Christmas Day, we went to the whatever it's called, the Hotel National, and sat by the pool and had burgers. And it was brilliant. I loved it so much because it was, you know, so unlike all of those kind of traditions and everything that you do. I mean, I love Christmas, but actually sometimes stepping out of it refreshes the whole thing. And I think that day we took one of those old, I can't remember the name of the car, but, you know, one of those vintage cars around the city, and it was just brilliant.
My book's Juan Place de l'Église, and I'm Trevor Dolby. Christmas in the south of France. Well, little villages like the one we're in, Cosevent, just after Christmas, they have a fête, a party, which is their New Year's party combined with a Christmas party. And it's usually on New Year's Day. And the first one of these we went to was many years ago, and it was an utter revelation to us. You go into the salon, and there's usually three quarters of the village there, and there's food and there's wine, and everybody is sort of greeting each other, salut, ça va. And there's a stage. And when everything quiets down, on the stage comes the mayor, who gives a little speech about the state of the village from the previous year, the state of the finances, and so on. And then all the deputies come on, and they stand in a little semicircle, and they're introduced, and all their friends boo them, and anybody who doesn't know them claps. And some people shout, as they would in England, "Get off! Go on! You're rubbish!" and all this sort of thing. And they all stand there very awkwardly. But the big thing they're waiting for is the cabaret. And the cabaret is just something to be seen. The mayor and his deputies troop off the stage, and suddenly the lights go down. And the music starts. And I always thought, it sounds like, you remember in one of those Bond films when there was a funeral, I can't remember, it was Live and Let Die, and it's this in the Caribbean, and they're coming around the corner, and it's da, 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 this sort of lugubrious thing. And that music starts up, and there's nothing, it's dark. And then suddenly the lights blaze on, and the music goes into a full-blown jazz belter. And on the side of the stage, four women figures start to walk out slowly as this music's going crazy. And they're in black capes, and they've got hoods on, and they walk out really slowly, one after the other, and you don't know what on earth is going to happen. And they get to the front, and they all four of them sharply turn and face the audience, and the music stops. And there's a beat of one, two, three. And suddenly the music belts up again. The lights come on. They throw off these capes. And underneath, There's four women, stockings, suspenders, headpieces, full Moulin Rouge, with nipple tassels, the whole bit. This is a village in the rural France. Everybody goes crazy. All the blokes suddenly have cameras. All the women are smacking their husbands around the head for looking too hard. The kids are at the front dancing like crazy. And this goes on for about 2 hours. It's a proper full-blown Moulin Rouge. Everybody gets drunk and falls over, and the mayor gets dragged on. One of the girls ran down to the front of the stage, grabs the mayor, puts a feather boa around his neck, drags him on stage and starts dancing. It's just complete madness. The end of the evening, of course, everybody is bonded over this, and everybody disappears into the dark night with the stars coming in the cold, you know, humming tunes, staggering away until the next year. So that's my Christmas in Courcival.
My name is Will Bolsover from Natural World Safaris, and just thinking about where I've spent Christmas abroad, probably would be out in Morocco, and that was in Marrakesh when I was leading trips out there, and that was in a little hotel called, it was just off Jemaa el Fna, the main square where all the souks and everything are, which is it's quite a buzz and aroma and everything, it's quite exciting, and Hotel Ali was where I was, and that was our sort of base, and it was pretty rough hotel, to be honest with you, but that's what the staging point, and it had a roof terrace as well, and I can remember sitting up on the roof by myself on Christmas Day having a beer looking out over the square there over Jemaa el Fna. And then it was years later as well, I was out in Morocco with my son and I was like, oh, let's just go and see if we can find this hotel where we used to work from, and Hotel Ali is still there, it's still the same and still a bizarre little place, but fantastic.
Wherever you are this Christmas, I truly hope you have a wonderful one, and indeed a very, very happy new year, full of friends, family, fun, and lots of travels. So thank you so much for being such lovely listeners throughout the year and continuing to support the Big Travel Podcast. Lots of love from me, Lisa Francesca Nand, and editor Alex George, as well as all our guests. Merry Christmas and a happy new year.